Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Glad you could be with us today. Patrick Conley here with you again, and I am just in the midst of this summer revelry that's going on. You know, I did come across that now things like Christmas in July are coming around again. Have you ever been part of one of those parties, Christmas in July? I'm not sure exactly what the thrust of that is. I guess it's nice that people have an affinity for Christmas. I'm guessing there's not a lot of religious kind of connotations to Christmas in July. I'm going to make a different suggestion. Okay, you ready for this? My new suggestion is Lent in July. How about that? Huh? Let's do something called Lent in July. Paul Sadek, our technical producer, is shaking his head. He's not in favor. Anyway, let me explain what I'm talking about here. I'm not saying that we need to go on the penitential route that Lent is so meaningful to us in the season of Lent. And there's good and holy reasons why Holy Mother Church does not have Lent fall in the middle of summer, that are very supposed to be helping us out with our faith life. But here's what I mean. We are people of habit and of routine. As human beings, we are. And I know that may sound boring to some people and may not be exactly what a lot of people want out of their lives, to be a person of routine. But we are. Just think through your day and how many things you do day after day after day, and that you actually enjoy doing it day after day after day. And it feels awkward. You feel a little bit off when it doesn't happen. I know I, for one, my morning routine usually consists of rolling out of bed or sitting up on the side of my bed, hopefully being cognizant enough to fire off a morning offering, and then getting myself up and into the kitchen to make myself that first cup of coffee. And then from there, it's over and settling into my chair for a little bit of morning time with the Lord. Now, here's what I'm thinking about in terms of Lent in July. Is in Lent, we frequently focus more on our routine, and we give something up or we add something or both to our routine to help us to draw closer to the Lord. And that's what I'm suggesting for July. Now that we're in the midst of this summer season, when even if you have a round the year job where your summers really don't look any different than any of the other times of the year, summers still have, maybe this is going all the way back to our childhood, summers still have this sense of added freedom. The days are longer and to an extent lazier, I suppose. And there's more, usually summer is the time of vacation and traveling around, as we've talked about on previous Rediscover Hours. But for this time of year, how about adding something to your routine? How about trying something a little bit new and different to spice up your summer in that way that draws you closer to the Lord? Specifically, I'm thinking in terms of prayer. So that could be anything from adding a new devotional prayer to adding daily mass attendance, if that's not part of your routine already. Something, Eucharistic adoration, something that will draw you closer to the Lord. Specifically, one of the things that I am doing in this month of July, July is a month given over to the precious blood of Jesus. And I really sense that the Lord has been prompting me to develop a devotion to the precious blood, even quite a bit prior to the present month. And so when a dear friend of mine who is now in the business of making rosaries came to me and said that she would like to make me a rosary as a gift, I asked her, well, could you do something a little bit different? And instead of making a standard traditional rosary, could you make me a chaplet of the precious blood? Have you heard of this? It's a great rosary-like prayer devotional, and it is thinking through the seven sheddings of blood of Jesus as we pray our fathers, and as we draw near to that blood, which is the beyond all price and has purchased for us our salvation, has ransomed us from the enemy, from the evil one, and delivered us back into a reconciled relationship with God, our loving Father. So this chaplet of precious blood consists of those seven mysteries of the seven sheddings of Jesus's blood. And we pray our fathers through each of those mysteries. But by the end of the chaplet, you've prayed 33 our fathers. 33, of course, a very significant number, the number of years of our Lord's life. There's also a litany of the precious blood. There's prayers and devotion or a dedication or a consecration to the most precious blood. Maybe that's some way that you might want to go, but it doesn't have to be that. What I'm just suggesting for Lent in July is that you take some time just to think through what's something new, something different that will shake up my routine, not to dislodge it, but to enhance it, to make it a routine that is producing within us a greater love for Christ and His church. All right, so that's my little spiel for this morning. Now, moving on and looking ahead to what we're covering in this hour today, we have Archbishop Hebda with us on the phone to talk about St. Paul's street evangelization. Then a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about the Seven Sisters Apostolate. I hope you've heard of this, but if not, you're in for a real treat, and hopefully this might be a new way, especially for you ladies, of doing something new and different in this month of July, and this, as I'm calling it, the Lent in July. But let's pause, as always, here at the top of the show, commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are going to go into our first break, but when we come back, Archbishop Hebda, our own chief shepherd, is going to be with us talking about St. Paul's street evangelization. Don't go away. Rediscover.
Do you know what it means to give first? It's giving without asking for something in return, right? Helping a neighbor, friend, or family member. Giving your time, energy, or money to support a great cause. Well, the folks at Catholic United Financial know firsthand the benefits of giving first. Why? Because they're a not-for-profit financial company. For example, no one asked them to raise millions of dollars each year for Catholic schools. It's what they do. No one asked them to give post-secondary scholarships to over 500 kids each year. It's what they do. No one asked them to create a disaster response team 10 years ago to help those in need. And finally, no one asked them to hold annual volunteer events to help benefit the homeless and those less well off. They do it because they're a Give First organization, and they've been doing it for 140 years. People helping people with life insurance, annuities, and retirement products. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and do business with a Give First organization. Give them a call today.
Back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, and we are privileged, as always, to every time he comes on the program, to have with us our own chief shepherd here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Archbishop Bernard Hebda is with us. Good morning, Your Excellency. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us, as always. So today we're talking with you a little bit about evangelization and sharing the faith, telling the good news. Maybe we'll start with a question that just says, why is evangelization a practice that is so essential to our own practice of the faith?
Well, it's really the key to who we are as the church. And Cardinal George was prone to say that the church doesn't have a mission, the mission has a church. And what Jesus committed us to right before he was ascended in the Great Commission was that we would go forth and preach the gospel to all nations. And so that's fundamental to who we are, to what we're about. And certainly I think it enriches our own faith life as well as we have that opportunity to articulate what it is that we believe and then to share that on a fundamental level and have the opportunity to see how the Lord uses us as his instrument. So giving us things to say or perspectives that will help the other person in coming to have an encounter with Christ. So it's always a humbling experience, I think, when we engage in any act of evangelization. But it certainly has to be at the forefront of what each of us is doing. You know, certainly St. John Paul spoke so often about the new evangelization, and that was something that he committed all of us to. And Pope Francis speaks about it more often in terms of missionary discipleship, and that we're always called to be missionaries. And so we look for ways of doing that. And I'm glad that St. Paul Street Evangelization gives us one of those opportunities.
Right. And what can you tell us about this important apostle, this important way of understanding and helping Catholics to understand the sharing of their faith called St. Paul Street Evangelization?
It's a beautiful organization in its simplicity, for sure, in that it's non-confrontational. It really is very gentle. They pick a spot. They bring with them an evangelization unit, which is a cart with things like miraculous medals, blessed rosaries, some pamphlets on the faith. And what they invite, they ask the question about whether or not people need prayer. And so it's an opportunity for engagement in that way. We don't argue the points of the faith with someone, but we really just want to be with them to have that opportunity, if the Holy Spirit presents it, of being able to share our faith and to help somebody else to engage Jesus. And certainly that comes in the form of prayer.
Right. And just as an understanding, this is obviously mostly, if not almost entirely, laity who are doing
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. You know, that's the thing, that all of us are called to do this, not just bishops or priests or nuns or deacons, but that all of us, all members of the church, in virtue of our baptism, are called to really be involved in evangelization. And this is just a way that that helps people to do that. So often when we bring up the topic of evangelization, especially some of our older Catholics will say, oh, that sounds Protestant. And even if they're excited about doing it, they don't know how. So the beautiful thing is that the St. Paul Street Evangelization Program gives lay people a method and an opportunity and some support for going forth and doing this important work.
What would you say, Your Excellency, to someone who says, well, now, wait a minute, this sounds just a little too out there for me. Maybe, as you just said, maybe a little too Protestant, maybe a little too crazy, just that I'm going to talk to a complete stranger about something as intimate as the faith. What would you say to the person who objects that way?
I would say two things. First is that try it.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned, it's often a humbling experience because you realize how it is that the Lord uses us, and it's always on His terms. So it might not be the person that we think that we're going to make a connection with. It's often totally unexpected, and yet that's how the Lord uses us. So first thing would be to try it. And then the second is we all have to be aware of our gifts as well. And for those who find it more difficult in general to approach somebody that they don't know, one of the things would be to begin by just supporting this apostolate with prayer, too. So praying for those who are going about and doing this work. But it is amazing. It's one of the things we hear even from in the New Testament, that Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit will give us the words that we need. And so we have to have confidence in Christ as we go forth in doing this work. So I think it's worth pushing ourselves to engage in this work.
Right. And one of the things that I appreciate about what you've already said in our time together this morning, as well as just a general understanding of evangelization, is it's really about creating that opportunity for encounter. Pope Francis, I know, especially early on in his papacy, liked to talk about encounter, that there's something about encountering Jesus. It's not about getting somebody to assent to a particular, a particular number of truth claims, so much as it is about them meeting somebody, so introducing somebody to someone else. Am I essentially right here?
Absolutely, Patrick. I mean, you know, there are for Pope Francis, there are the two key terms, and one of them is that it's encounter, and the other is accompaniment.
Right.
Right? So even though this might be a brief encounter, one of the things that the St. Paul Street Evangelization team is that tries to hook up people that are interested with their parishes so that they might have a longer exposure, that there might be somebody who can accompany them in the journey of faith. And you know, when, every year when we, I always love the rite of election as we gather with those who are to be baptized at Easter, whether we do that at the cathedral or the basilica, and you hear the powerful stories of how those men and women have felt accompanied as they've grown in the faith, as they've progressed on through RCIA. And Patrick, I know that you've been intimately involved with that, and you know that very well. So how important are those relationships that are born, and then that we have Catholics who are willing to accompany searchers, accompany those who are seeking on the path of faith.
And one of the things I think too that's so powerful about that is just reflecting on my own life of faith and recognizing that if it weren't for these certain key people along the lines, and not necessarily one particular person, but different people at different times, helping me to encounter Christ and encountering him more deeply at different steps along the way. I think that's a good practice to get into too, is to recognize how we encounter Christ through others in general.
Absolutely. You know, that's one of, I think, the greatest of the spiritual practices is to do that daily examination of conscience or consciousness, where before our head hits the pillow, to think about where Jesus has been present in our life, where he's encountered us in the course of this day. Who are those men and women that have helped us to see Jesus or given us some insight into his love, his mercy, the challenges that he gives to us? So I think to be more aware of that then helps us to go forward as well.
Right. Now, I know that another Pope Francis saying that is pretty popular out there is that the shepherd should smell like the sheep. And yeah. I know that we've had a number of laity here in this archdiocese get out and get involved with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Now, I do hear tell that you are going to join them in that. Is that right?
Yes. I was delighted to be invited. We've been looking for an opportunity, and so I'm thrilled that's been arranged.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm grateful to see you out there on the streets. Just out of curiosity, do you think being out there as in your clericals and with the pectoral cross and these sorts of things, do you think that'll be more of a help or a deterrent out there, or does it remain to be seen?
It remains to be seen. I think one of the things that we often find is that whenever there's a priest involved, and that's certainly a bishop is a priest, that sometimes our work is that of hearing confessions. And so it's backup work after people have already had that initial contact. Mm-hmm. But I certainly hope I won't be a distraction to the good work that St. Paul Street Evangelization does.
Right, very good. And just in case anybody wants to know more about St. Paul Street Evangelization, their website is streetevangelization.com. Again, streetevangelization.com. And you can learn all about this great organization, St. Paul Street Evangelization. Archbishop Hovda, it's been a pleasure having you on the Rediscover Hour. Could I just ask you to give us your blessing before you go?
Sure, Patrick. Happy to do that. And make sure that you tell the women from Seven Sisters how much that I and all of our priests appreciate their prayers too, okay?
I certainly will.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen. Archbishop Hovda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right. So it's always a pleasure to speak with him, of course, and I'm hoping that he inspired you to go out and share the faith more with others, whether that's on the street, in your homes, in your families, at, who knows, at the marketplace, at your workplace, at your school, wherever it is. We need to live the faith as we know Christ and help others to come to know and love him as well. We're going to take our next break, and coming back is that time when Archbishop Hovda just mentioned we're going to be speaking with Jeanette Howe and Father Joseph Johnson about the Seven Sisters Apostolate right after this. Rediscover.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
It's like family, and I'm so comforted and edified and inspired. It's a gift, and you're all fabulous.
When you listen to this radio network, you know you're not alone on your journey. Yeah, it's tough. The hills and the mountains are sometimes really steep. But when you listen to The Inner Life, when you listen to Relevant Radio, we hope that you can walk away feeling emboldened, maybe just feeling a little bit better about who you are and knowing that you're not alone on the journey. And there's so much consolation in that, that with God's grace, you can walk through a lot of these things that we all deal with.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
You are beautiful.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Perrin, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer. And we are coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studio in Golden Valley. And we are brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. And now we are talking about Seven Sisters Apostolate. Have you heard of this? Have you heard of the Seven Sisters? If you have, I'm sure you're very excited to hear more. If you haven't, well, buckle your seatbelts. We've got some great things for you to share with you. Joining me now in studio, we're going to start with the lady, or ladies, yes, ladies first, and Jeanette Howe, who is the founder and coordinator of the Seven Sisters Apostolate, longtime member of the Cathedral of St. Paul, which is where I had the pleasure of meeting her. She's been married for 36 years, and her two kids, one is Father Spencer Howe, which some of you in the Archdiocese may know, and the other one, Kelsa, works for the Institute for Priestly Formation in Omaha. So, Jeanette, pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
And I know you heard Archbishop Hebda's words, but I do want to convey to you and Father Joseph that, yes, he is very much sending his greetings and his blessings and his thanks for this wonderful apostolate. But let's start by asking the question, what is the Seven Sisters?
Okay, well, it's really as simple as being a response to the obligation that we have as Catholics to pray for our shepherds. And we do this type of prayer in the form of offering holy hours. And the holy hours are offered seamlessly, one holy hour each day of the week. And then that's repeated the following week, and so on and so forth, with an initial commitment for 1 year.
Okay, so you have a team, so to speak, of mm-hmm. seven women who each take one day of the week to pray one holy hour for a specific priest.
That's
or
right.
Bishop. Yeah.
That's right. And they dedicate that holy hour for one particular priest only, his intentions only, his sanctity only, and for a deeper devotion to Mary.
Wow.
So, simple.
Yeah.
But challenging.
But simple, but absolutely profound. And I can imagine it's already borne a bunch of fruit, but we'll get into that later. Okay. First off, I want to know, how did this idea, where did it germinate? I mean, obviously in prayer, I'm sure, but how did it come into your mind and how was it formed? Take us back to the very early stages
okay.
of it.
Good. I really never tire telling this because really the spark comes from a witness of a great generosity of my pastor at that time was Father Joseph Johnson. And it was an admiration I had of watching him live this completely full and a zealous type of priestly life. And it's really an appreciation of that generosity, of that witness. I felt like, how can I help fuel this? How can I give back a little bit to support what Father Johnson's doing? And so, simple, I decided that I would offer a holy hour for him once a week, and just for his intentions, and do that regularly each week. So I started in about 2010.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which was coincidentally the year that my wife and I came into the church. So that was I know that of which you speak. And yeah, okay, so that's how it started. But then you decided, how did you get to the point of saying, okay, maybe other women should be involved in this
okay.
as well?
Okay. Well, as I look back at that time in 2010, and Father was quick to remind me in that looking back that this was really the end of the year for priests that the church had declared. So likely I was riding on the wave of graces from that year. And it made this commitment, as I said, challenging first, but really to continue, it was easy to do. So I had done it for probably about 9 months. One day when I was in adoration for Father's Holy Hour, the sense of that others could join me in this effort came. So within a week's time, I unfolded that to Father. It wasn't something that I was going to do on my own, and I really needed his discernment on this. And so as he heard my heart on this, thinking that, okay, I was doing this one day a week, and if six others joined me, it would be this, again, seamless prayer for Father and grace upon grace. And one thing Father always said to me, you can be greedy, Jeanette, greedy for graces. So I thought he, too, can be greedy for graces, and we wanted to supply that for him, to be conduits of that.
And what was the original, as you started to ask other women if they're interested in something like that, what was that about?
Yeah. So Father had a plan. He has a lot of gifts, and one of those gifts is discernment. And he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to ask six other women from six other parishes to learn about what you have been doing for 9 months. And then in turn, they're to prayerfully consider six women within those parishes, ask them to do the same thing. Father didn't want to move quickly in this, in the sense of, okay, so then next week we'll really let the world know about it. He said, do this for 1 year. Let's test it. Let's see what's happening. So that was, again, that would be in the summer of 2011 that we started with the seven churches, seven women in each.
Wow. Okay. In 2011.
Yep.
Wow. All right. So that was a number of years ago now. And what's happened since?
Okay. So in 2012, having finished that first year as Father had suggested, Father asked me to contact these women, see how things were going. And I did just that. And then at that point, Father said, let's open it up. I want you to write some simple guidelines to prepare women, to encourage women in this type of prayer, and then we'll open it up. And we did just that in 2012. So today we have over 500 groups. In the United States. We have about 33 states that have at least one group in the state. And then we also have some groups represented in Europe, South America, and the Philippines.
Wow. The adage, trite though it may be, that's going through my head is that it's difficult to steer a parked car. And I'm just thinking back to just saying, you know what, how can I give back? I'm going to give one holy hour a week for the intentions of our priest. And then it's turned into this, that you give God just a little bit and he makes it amazingly abundant. That's what it's sounding like to me. We're talking with Jeanette Howe about the Seven Sisters Apostle. Let's invite into the conversation here in the studio with us as well, Father Joseph Johnson, pastor of Holy Family, and here in St. Louis Park, so just down the road from where we are in the Relevant Radio studios. Father, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patrick. Good to be with you.
Always good to have you on the show. And I'm just curious about, from your perspective, now we've heard from Jeanette a little bit about how this whole thing got kicked off. Was this something that early on you were thinking, wow, this could go gangbusters, or were you just thinking, let's take it one step at a time?
Well, it's sort of, the process of discernment. You want to see, is this of the Lord? You know, if I always say, you know, I have lots of ideas, but Lord, if it's just my idea, kill it. You know, if it's your idea, then it'll blossom and bear fruit. So when Jeanette brought this inspiration to me, I apply the same rule. Let's see. Let's start small. See if no one's interested in it. Well, then maybe we see that's just a passing thought. But after a year, when all these other women had said how fruitful they'd found that mission of praying for their pastors, and there was a hunger to continue, I said, okay, this looks like it's the Holy Spirit at work here. And so we opened it up. Jeanette and I differ on one thing. She says it was my generosity. I think it was my poverty that inspired this. You know, the Lord said to her, look at this guy over here. He needs some help.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think what she said was correct.
Very good. Very good. Father, a question for you perhaps is that there is a concept known as spiritual motherhood, but this is different from that. How does this differ from spiritual motherhood?
You know, there are many different ways of praying for our priests. And sometimes when people hear of this and they want to be part of it, they also want to say, oh, but you know, what if we also did this? What if we altered it that way? What if we tweaked it this way and all that? My job is to say no. That, you know, there are many wonderful ways of praying for priests, and if you feel called to do it in one of those other ways, then wonderful. Be faithful to the Lord calling you to do it in that way. But Jeanette's inspiration was very specific, seven sisters. So when guys say, well, why can't it be, you know, four sisters and three brothers? Why can't it, you know, certainly men can participate as substitutes, you know, and things like this. But it was a very specific inspiration. And this idea of a sister is as a companion on the journey. You know, one, Pope Francis uses that term, accompaniment, so often. And it's a wonderful way to think about this, is we're accompanying the priest. Whereas motherhood is something different. And just like mentorship is something different. You know, it implies a kind of a nurturing role from above. And we didn't sense that the Holy Spirit was saying that about this, that it's not a motherhood, it's a sisterly accompaniment. Mm-hmm. And that's the way. Jeanette, feel free to jump in and say anything on that to clarify.
Yeah, any thoughts on that topic, Jeanette?
Yeah, I think, when it was first brought up, it was such a refreshing moment for Father, because he said sometimes things can be a little bit mixed up in terms of how we relate to a priest. And I think that this is a healthy, wonderful way. The church also supports spiritual motherhood as well, and healthy and wonderful as well. But in this way, I hear from many women that it really is... It sort of brings them into this type of prayer in a very fresh way. Mm. And I think it's just appealing to so many women to support that's really what's happening all over.
That's great.
Yeah. I think the scriptural kind of antecedents that as we back into this, you know, the Holy Spirit gave us this, and then we kind of try and fill in how does it make sense from what we already know of the Word of God. There's the famous passage where Moses is leading the people, and he's tired. He's exhausted. And as long as he's praying and his arms are raised up, beseeching God, then everything goes well for the chosen people. But he gets tired, and he lets his arms drop, and then everything goes poorly for the chosen people. And so eventually they get him something to sit on, and they brace his arms, and Israel carries the day. I think in some way the seven sisters are that hidden way of being that support for our priests. The other one is, of course, the Lord himself was ministered to by all sorts of women along the way, you know, even on the way to Calvary, but throughout his ministry. And so I think that is an invitation to us to see there. It wasn't a motherly relationship. Only the Blessed Mother had that with him. But the other women who were there taking care of his needs, supporting him, wiping his face, providing his meals, all of these things, that kind of now I think is a spiritual role that the seven sisters fulfill for those who stand in the person of Christ as priest today.
There's a built-in detachment, too, in the way that this is structured, and that is that the group of seven sisters is oriented toward really kind of a position or a role that a priest might serve, maybe the pastor of St. Mary's, for instance. So that group is oriented toward praying for the pastor of St. Mary's, who happens to be Father such and such. Mm-hmm. When Father such and such gets transferred somewhere else, is newly assigned somewhere else, that group remains praying, waiting for that new assignment as pastor of St. Mary's. And so it keeps things fresh, and then it also helps with the growth of the apostolate.
Yeah.
The Father so-and-so has a new assignment. Maybe there's not a Seven Sisters group there. He really appreciated the prayer support, and he's asking for maybe that to be started where he's assigned.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great.
And it keeps it from being a priest fan club, too.
Yes.
Exactly. You know?
Right.
And I've actually heard from women who say that every once in a while they find themselves at odds with their pastor.
Mm. And that never happens.
No, no. Of course, we priests never make mistakes, right? Right. Now pray for us more, and maybe we make less mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. But that actually it's a very fruitful thing to have to come to prayer and pray for him, even if you may be ticked off at him. You know, and it's a purifying thing both for the seventh sister who's doing it, but it also shows that this is not about whom we like or don't like. It's about the role that priests play in our church as shepherds, standing in the person of Christ, and that we love them even when we don't like them, and we lift them up in prayer even when we disagree with one another.
Right.
Hmm. Let's talk patrons. I'm sure that there are patrons of this apostolate. Who are they and why?
Okay, so the apostolate was given three patrons, and much to my joy, as I prayed about it, I started with, we have to have Our Lady involved, of course.
Yes, of course.
And so that came under the title of Madonna of the Grapes. And so Madonna meaning Lady, again, not Mother, we're looking at this title of Mary. She's really looked at more as a disciple of Christ, and also that Lady of the Grapes or the Eucharist. Mm. She's that one that oversees the beauty and the fullness of the Eucharist, which, of course, is so linked to the priest. Then, of course, we needed to include St. John Vianney, patron of all priests. And then the third was added through prayer, and that was St. Margaret Clitheroe from England, and she was a martyr in the penal times. She was a woman who was a convert to the faith that really supported the work of the priests in very dangerous times. Mm-hmm. And she helped to hide priests in what were called priest holes at the time. She helped to support the priest in being able to have a mass in hidden ways. And she died in her love.
Yeah, she gave her life.
She did.
Yeah.
She did.
Yeah. Wow. Three importantly and powerful patrons of the Seven Sisters Apostolate. Again, we're talking with Jeanette Howe and Father Joseph Johnson, the founders and chaplain of the Seven Sisters Apostolate, where seven women will commit to taking one holy hour a week, each on different days of the week, for their particular priest or bishop and his intentions, which is a great apostolate. So I'm guessing there's a bunch of fruit that's been born through this apostolate. Father, can you recount any of the fruit that you're aware of that has come for the women who have prayed for you?
You know, it's kind of in a subtle way. Sometimes you just sense that things, you're having a rough day and this, that, and then things go better, and you don't realize that someone's been lifting you up in prayer. Other times, you're having one of those days, and you decide, you know, wait a minute, I'm going to draw on the graces. I know that I have someone praying for me today. I'm going to draw on those graces and get through this day. It's not just me on my own here. I've got others supporting me here. Mm-hmm. And so there's a beautiful peace that comes from knowing. And you know, in our society, too, even more limited commodity than money is time. You know, we all so busy. And so one of the images for this apostate is that image of Christ's feet being, you know, showered with that precious ointment. And of course, you know who, Judas says, wait a minute, that could have been sold for, you know, lots of money. And it is a wastefulness to honor the Lord. And to take a whole hour, you know, and do nothing but pray for this priest. Not, okay, I'm going to say a prayer for this priest, and then I'm going to talk about my family and my, you know, work and all that. No, just for this priest is a holy wasting of that. Is the greatest gift you can give is that whole hour of your time, you know, and to receive that gift is a great blessing. But, you know, so often it will only be in heaven that we look back and we see how others have helped us along the way.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
One of my favorite stories is from a priest in Florida who said, as Father sort of alluded to, you can't really separate what prayer helps here or helps there, because a lot of people are praying. And again, this is one drop in the ocean of prayer we hope is going out for each priest. But this priest, I think, articulated it so well. He said, I cannot tell. I can't separate prayer, which is for what, which is for this. But I will say this. When Seven Sisters started to pray for me, I stood taller. And it just spoke so much to me because one of our goals is really to strengthen the priest, believing that when we strengthen the priest, we strengthen the church. We strengthen the foundations of the church, and we strengthen everything in the church. So it was a beautiful articulation, I think, of maybe how a man would respond to knowing that there's prayers being offered for him and that grace upon grace for that man.
Fascinating. A question about the, you said that there's over 500, I don't, do you call them chapters or groups or in different parishes? It sounds like in many different places in the United States as well as around the world. Is there a way that you stay in touch with any of these people, or is it just kind of expanding beyond the realms of being able to stay in touch?
So we do have a website that's very active. People visit it. Priests themselves visit it. We get a lot of information from priests who want a group started for them. And I think you're going to be giving what that
Go
is.
Ahead.
Oh, okay.
SevenSistersApostolate.org is what I have.
Okay, very good. This and visiting that website, there's a lot of information there. If you're not, if a person that's visiting is not particularly called to this form of offering prayer for priests, we hope that they leave a desiring to pray for priests maybe in another way. But through that website, you can get in contact with myself or the team, and we will respond to you as quickly as we can. There are ways that are on there that help you to start a group, that put you into that place of heart. We always say in the apostolate, prayer will make things clear. So we really encourage that beginning to be prayer. If God is calling you to do this, you'll know the next step through prayer.
And through the wonders of modern media, you know, through internet and email, Jeanette can send messages out to make sure that, people are focused on things. If people have questions, they can pose those questions to Jeanette and, others and see how those are going. And then some other things have kind of come out of this, like an annual gathering.
Yeah.
You know, like in June, the month of the Sacred Heart, we encourage the Seven Sisters themselves to get together. Because sometimes these women might not ever see each other. They're in the same parish, but maybe they go to a different mass, whatever. But to get all seven of them together, if it's possible, right around the solemnity of the Sacred Heart, and make a renewal of their commitment for the coming year. Or if someone's opting out and someone else is coming in, that they would start their promise at that time. And then some larger gatherings have happened, like here in the Twin Cities. We've had several years now where we've had an invitation for all of the Seven Sisters in the Twin Cities, and even some that, want to drive in from other nearby places, to be together for Mass and a luncheon and some spiritual talks and the like. And sometimes it's so funny seeing, you know, as these women are meeting one another, and they go, oh, you're a Sister Tuesday as well? I'm Sister Tuesday for my priest, you know, and you feel this kinship that on Tuesday you now have a face. This other woman is somewhere else in front of the Blessed Sacrament praying for her priest, and we're connected in this beautiful way.
What a great, yeah, I can only picture it now, these women making the connections across the aisles about, yeah, I'm on Wednesday. Oh, I'm on Wednesday too. Wow, very good. Are the guidelines available on the website as well? You said you wrote up some guidelines.
Yes, they are. They're downloadable free. I also have hard copies that I pass on for my printing costs of $2, very inexpensive and affordable for everyone. And so those can be ordered through the website as well.
And if a group wants to form or is forming, do they register then with you somehow so that you're aware of their presence and what they're doing and who they're covering or what parish they're covering?
Yep, that's exactly it. There's a map on the website, and so you can first check to see if there's already Seven Sisters for the particular parish that you're considering. If you're unclear or unsure about how to use the map, you can certainly just email and pose that question, and then we'll go from there.
Wow.
Because sometimes you don't even know. There are seven women in your parish who are already doing this for your pastor.
Yeah.
But if the Lord put that desire in your heart, you know, when that person connects, you say, well, you know what? But you also have a retired priest that helps you on the weekends, right? Maybe you could become the beginning of a group for him.
Right.
You know, or something like that. Because it always starts with the pastor. Yeah. Because he's the shepherd of that community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there could be other. There
absolutely.
Could be,
for, the for the associate, for weekend helpers. Yeah. And then also it spreads out for the priests who are in institutions, hospital chaplains at the chancery, you know, things like that, going off to study for doctoral studies, things like that. And, of course, for our bishops as well. And Jeanette can maybe talk more about the bishops group.
Yeah, mention that, Jeanette.
We have not forgotten our bishops.
They will be pleased to know that, yes.
And really, in consideration of that, I thought, Lord, should there be something special for these special men and their special duties and roles? And so through prayer, it seemed like perhaps we should be praying for our bishops, in quotes, morning, noon, and night. And then in considering that and speaking with Father about that, we sense that maybe this meant having three groups of seven for that bishop. More figurative than literal, but there are places that pray for their bishops that have a morning hours group and one noonish hours and one evening. So the idea here is that the bishops are receiving three holy hours each day, again, in that seamless fashion.
Wow.
Yeah. And our good archbishop here has a very active Seven Sisters group with 21 intercessors.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
And some other things that have happened would be like for some of our priests, our elderly priests who are sick and dying, and sometimes the Seven Sisters have stepped forward to care for them, to be at their bedside, to pray for them in those last hours and the like. Anyway, so the Lord has used it really to open up a beautiful apostolate of praying for priests.
Mm. Yeah, and one kind of PS on that, too, is that sometimes these women, they were like, okay, Father has passed on to eternal life. What do we do now? And again, I go back to that prayer will make it clear. And what's risen out of that is that some of these groups have remained in prayer for 1 year for the soul of that priest.
Wow.
So again, that spark of generosity that they've recognized in the priest, the same one that I saw in Father Johnson, it continues to be what moves people to more generosity themselves.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, so you've got prayer. You've got women together in prayer, supporting our priests, our shepherds, and our bishops. You got this happening around the Eucharist, around Eucharistic adoration. And you have this under the patronage of Our Lady, of course, Our Lady of the Grapes, of St. John Vianney, and St. Margaret Clitheroe. Mm-hmm. What are you missing?
Well, and we should say one thing, too. Obviously, it's always best to pray in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, and this kind of started in adoration. Mm. But some places, there isn't Eucharistic adoration. You know, and so, you know, what we encourage people to do what you can. Mm-hmm. So go into the church and just pray before the tabernacle. Some places, the church is locked, little rural communities and all right. that. We had a lady who was driving to the church and sitting in her car parked next to the church to make her hour, because that's as close as she could get to Jesus in the Eucharist.
Wow.
We have others that, you know, were on summer vacation and I couldn't get a substitute to do it for me. So I'll just do it myself. Even if that means, you know, in my hotel room, I send, you know, the rest of the family down to dinner or off to a movie or whatever, and I take an hour in my hotel room and make that hour. But so it's very flexible mm-hmm. that way, but always with the thought that it's best to be with our Lord face to face, you know, in our adoration in the presence of the Eucharist.
Yeah.
So, and Archbishop Fulton Sheen had another idea that is utilized by a lot of women, and that is in his book, Those Mysterious Priests. He talks about starting a holy hour before a Mass and then ending, finishing the balance of that holy hour after the Mass. And in that book, he says a holy Mass never interrupts a holy hour. So this works for some women who, in the situation where maybe the parish is locked, it's open for Mass, and it's likely open a half an hour at least before, left open a half an hour after. So it's a way that people are able to keep fidelity to the apostolate.
Very creative.
Yeah.
Are the women ever, or to what degree are the women aware of, say, a priest or a bishop's intentions going into the holy hour? Is it usually not very much at all, or do they do sometimes the priests share their intentions?
The priests are very, very free to communicate. One of the seven sisters is designated as the anchoress, that is kind of the coordinator of the group, but we call her the anchoress. And so Father could communicate with her that he has a particular need. He could even leave it vague, or it can be very specific. And she would then pass it on to the other sisters, and so those prayers would be. But the instructions are very clear. You're not to go asking Father, what should we pray for? What should we pray for? What should we pray for? You know, there needs to be that holy detachment from this, and just from a distance to be offering this. But Father, from his side, is always welcome to express whatever particular things that he'd like them to pray for.
Wow.
And it serves as a stretch for some women who are used to having a list of intentions for something, but really it helps them to grow in leaning on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. It always does. Well, this has been a fantastic conversation with Jeanette Howe, the founder of Seven Sisters Apostolate, and Father Joseph Johnson, their chaplain. Again, the website, if you want to check it out and learn more, is seven, and that's seven spelled out, not the number, but S-E-V-E-N, sistersapostolate.org. Jeanette Howe, Father Joseph Johnson, thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour and sharing about Seven Sisters Apostle with us. And Father, since we're being greedy for graces, we've already had a blessing from Archbishop Hebda, but I'm going to ask you, being greedy for graces, if you would share a blessing with us as well.
Happy to do so as well. Loving, gracious Father, we thank you for all the ways your grace is at work in our hearts. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour. We're going to go into our final break. When we come back, many more ways to get involved with your faith, draw closer to the Lord, and live it out in the presence of others. We'll be right back. Rediscover.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3%, with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
And you come alive.
To the Rediscover Hour. Paul, you are here in studio.
Always.
And we rely on that. We rely on it. What do we got going on, Paul?
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to come to the Summer Theology on Tap series at O'Gara's in St. Paul. Topics on faith and contemporary issues that directly affect the lives of young adults. Join us Wednesday, July 18th to hear from NFL veteran Matt Burke on Tackling Faith After the Super Bowl. Social hour, 6:30 to 7:30. We'll hear from Matt Burke at 7:30. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org or visit the Cathedral Young Adults Facebook page.
Grandparents, you are invited to the Nativity Grandparents Apostolate of Saints Joachim and Anne on Wednesday, July 25th at 8:45 a.m. in the Steiner Hall of Nativity Catholic Church in St. Paul. Daily Mass will be offered in the church at 8:15 a.m. All grandparents are invited to a time of enrichment, prayer, and fellowship with presenter Father Alan Coos, Director for Pastoral Formation and the Teaching Parish Program at the St. Paul Seminary. Father Coos will speak on the gifts that grandparents bestow in faith. Refreshments will be served, and the church and Steiner Hall are both wheelchair accessible. For more information, visit parish.nativity-mn.org or contact Lily at 651-414-9367.
The Archdiocese is hosting a special screening of the new documentary Sexual Revolution, 50 Years Since Humanae Vitae, at St. Agnes School in Helen Hull Auditorium, Wednesday, July 25th, 5:30 to 9 p.m. This documentary examines the effects of the free love experiment of the hippie generation and the prophetic encyclical Humanae Vitae. Centerpiece of the film is the dramatic life story of Alana Newman, a talented secular musician who gives up her entire musical career for life, family, and love, yet ultimately discovers the treasures of theology of the body, Humanae Vitae, and the riches of true freedom. Order tickets at archspm.org/events.
Grandparents, we got something else for you. Join Bishop Andrew Cousins for Prayer in Real Life, an evening for grandparents, on Thursday, August 16th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Golden Valley. Bishop Cousins will speak on how to pray in real life as grandparents. Let us pray more diligently for our grandchildren. All grandparents are invited to attend. A free will offering will be collected at the event, and refreshments will be provided. There's no cost. Please register and find more details, including a flyer, on the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
Be transformed and transform the world. The Office of Evangelization is excited to announce the Missionary Discipleship Series coming this fall. The series includes 3 4-week sessions in the fall, winter, and spring, each week with a live speaker and time for reflection, prayer, and Q&A with the speaker. For more information, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org. There'll be a series starting this October at St. Hubert in Chanhassen, and a series for young adults taking place at the Church of St. Peter in Mendota.
Next week.
What's next week?
I am out next week, but have no fear.
I think Alyssa Bormes is
coming. Alyssa Bormes, as well as Jean Stopelstead, Director of Marriage, Family, and Life at the Archdiocese. And they're going to be talking Humanae Vitae. The guest will be Dr. Christopher Thompson, who will be on air to talk about what the church teaches in regards to Humanae Vitae, and Professor Dr. Stephen Heaney. He'll talk about some of the philosophical arguments regarding this encyclical. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.